One of the things I like about the Episcopal Church is its architecture. I love the churches of the Episcopal Church. Aren't they the best churches usually wherever you go? I'm not talking about the churches that were built in the 60s and 70s, which are these bare modernistic days. But I'm talking about the ones that were built back in the Victorian age, the 80s and the 90s of the 19th century, or the ones, the neo-Gothic ones that were built in the 20s and 30s and 40s using rich materials of stone and wood. You just go into them and they feel like a holy place. They feel like God's house, like sacred space. And they usually smell good. They smell like old wood and stone. I love those old churches. When we lived in Kansas, my sons and I would drive every summer to Colorado to visit my mother and my family. And we would take Highway 50, which goes across the southern part of Kansas, through all these little towns of Medicine Lodge and Kingman and Pratt and Dodge City and Garden City. And in each of those towns, there was an Episcopal church, even if it was a very, very small church. So when we would go, I liked to go find the church, the Episcopal church, in each town so that I could be near the holy place. It was like we were taking a pilgrimage from one holy place to another. One time we were in one of these little towns and I couldn't find the church, and so I was driving around trying to find the church, and my sons got very irritated with me. They said, "Dad, stop wasting time. Let's get on the road." In his autobiography, the pastor and writer Eugene Peterson tells about his early days in ministry. This was back in the 1960s, when he and his wife established a new church in the suburbs that were rapidly growing in Maryland. They moved there with the intention to build a new church, and they bought a house with a big basement in it, and they started their church in the basement. They invited people to come, and they started with a very small group on folding chairs with a simple table. And more people heard about it and became excited about it, and it grew and grew, and they had to move to the cafeteria of an elementary school, and it kept growing and growing. And all this time, there was excitement and energy around the building, the new church. They got together and they made plans for what their new church would be and all the things that they wanted. They hired an architect, and they went through a design process just like we have. And they thought about what they were going to furnish it with. It was so exciting, a time when anything was possible. They didn't have anybody saying, "Well, we've never done it that way before," because everything was new. There was no set tradition. So the day finally came, and they had the dedication of the church, and it was a marvelous celebration. The place was packed. And it seemed like they were on their way. But Eugene Peterson began to notice about a month later that the attendance was dropping off. And some of the people who had been the most faithful workers in building the new church were absent. He began to wonder what was going on. So after he noticed that one couple had been gone for 6 weeks, he stopped by to say hi to them. And they said, "Hi, Pastor, isn't the new church wonderful?" He says, "Well, yeah, but I've missed you." And they said, "Well, we worked so hard on building the church, we felt like we deserved some time off. So last Sunday we went fishing." Well, I guess it was more than last Sunday. "But we'll be back, don't worry." And Peterson began to notice that they had built a beautiful box, and they had put God in the box, and they had left God there. And he began to realize what a trap a building can be, and how a church building can even become an idol that we worship more than we worship God. We love our church buildings. They're wonderful. They're beautiful. But they can be a trap. In our Old Testament lesson today, The prophet Nathan is beginning to realize this same thing. King David has defeated his enemy. He has rest from his enemies all around. He has entered the city of Jerusalem and established his throne there in Jerusalem. He is at the height of his powers. The kingdom has spread to its greatest extent. And so David says to Nathan, the prophet Nathan, his advisor, says, look, I live in a house of cedar, but God lives in a tent and a tabernacle. I will build God a house. It will be a wonderful house. It will have ramparts and walls and gates and towers and a holy place for God and gardens and beautiful incense and music all the time. And Nathan says, good, good. Go and do all that is in your mind. It's good. But that very night, Nathan hears a word from the Lord. And God says to Nathan, all these years since Egypt, I have traveled with the people of Israel in a tent and a tabernacle. All that time, did I even say once that I wanted a house of God? So say to David, you will not build me a house, but I will build you a house. Your descendants will sit on your throne, and your kingdom will last forever. So Nathan begins to realize the problems associated with a temple. Not only is there the cost of the materials and the labor that's going to be involved, the conscription of people to work on the temple, but there is the focus on physical things, the stone altar, the sacrifices, all the physical things that go into a temple. And of course, there's going to be a temple elite, a bureaucracy that's going to grow up, has to be satisfied in the temple. There's going to be an increasing distance from the people who live far away and have to come to the temple. And there's going to be a sense of over-reliance on the temple for protection, as if it would protect the people from their enemies forever. Nathan sees all this, and he realizes that the temple, yes, can be a dwelling place for God, but it can also become an idol. So all through the Old Testament, you see this tension between priests and prophets. The priests in the temple say, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, you must come and offer your sacrifices and pay the price. But on the other hand, the prophets are saying, no, you can't put God in a box. It's the relationship with God that's most important. It's the covenant that God established with the people of Israel long before the temple was ever built. Thousand years later, Jesus comes to the people of Israel. And he comes not to the temple. He's not a priest in the priestly hierarchy. He doesn't serve in the temple. But Jesus goes out in the countryside to the towns and the villages and the farms where the people live. In our gospel story today, we have two stories of Jesus and the disciples taking a boat and going somewhere. And as soon as they land in each place, the throng see them coming and they begin to come to Jesus. And Jesus waves into the people and he heals and he teaches. Jesus knows that God is in the midst of the people, not trapped in a building. The Gospel of John in the prologue says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That word dwelt can also be translated tabernacled or pitched a tent. God pitched a tent in the midst of us. That's who Jesus is, God with us. You can't put God in a box. If you do, God will get out and do something unexpected. A church is a beautiful thing. It's a sacred place. It's holy ground. It's the house of God. But it's good to be reminded that we need to get out of the church sometimes and do the ministry of Jesus out in the world. About 20 years ago, we had a deacon named Marilyn Brandenburg, and she established a fund that was to be used for outreach only, to help people in need. And she was very wise. She put a stipulation on the use of that money. She said, this money can only be used when the people of St. Anthony's are doing hands-on ministry in that outreach work. We have to get out of the church to do the work of God, to do the work of Jesus. There's a sign over the door that says, the mission field begins here. When we walk out the door, we begin doing the mission of God. Well, we are building a new building, and it's taking more time than we thought. It occurred to me that I wonder if God is giving us a little more time to think about what we're going to use that new church for. The church is not a building. The church is a people. The church is the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of Christ among us. Amen.